Oh, come on, Tinnituvial said yet again. Mordak winced. Oh, come on seemed to land on exactly the same little cluster of nerve endings every single time. Amazing accuracy, of which any championship-grade goblin archer would be justly proud. It's so glaringly, blindingly obvious that even a particularly stupid rock ought to be able to see it. Or, provided it's explained slowly, you. But Mordak shook his aching head. It's ambiguous, he repeated. Ambiguous, my ear tips. She who should never have been born will rise up among the chosen people. And what have you got down in the cellars right now? The one and only ever female goblin. I know you have severe issues with 2 plus 2, but surely you get it. Mordak selected a dry-roasted ear from the small dish on the table in front of him. Not too hard, not too wrinkled and furry. The green ones were his favourite. You're jumping to conclusions, he said with his mouth full. Really, I'm surprised at you. Smart lady like you. Conclusions, he added loudly, before she could get started, that aren't warranted by the available data. About the only way to get her to be quiet for a moment, he'd learned the hard way, was to bombard her with syllables. It always took her a split second to get over the shock of finding that he knew words that long. For example, he went on, the prophecy says, the chosen people. A prophecy, mark you, concocted by elves. Surely, if an elvish prophecy wanted you to think goblins, it'd say something like, evil little bastards. Chosen people's got to mean your lot, surely. He looked at her and narrowed his eyes. She who should never have been born, he said. An elf. She knew he was kidding. Prophecies are like that, she said. You know that perfectly well. They're supposed to be totally misleading while telling nothing but the truth. Out of interest. Why is that? I don't know, do I? Because they're exclusively composed by elves? No, there has to be some other reason. Anyway, you've got to admit, when you see chosen people, you don't immediately think of goblins. Well, do you? Her fists were clenched into little hard knots. Of course you don't. That's the point. Look, will you stop trying to score points off me and look at it constructively? That one went home, just below the sore spot caused by all the oh come ons. Yes, he admitted, I'm arguing with her because I can, which is no good reason. And also because I don't want to execute Bolgette, he admitted. It seems so unfair somehow. Bolgette. For a moment, he thought she was about to explode. You've given it a name. He shrugged. Bolge, after my revered predecessor, because we used a bit of his adrenal gland to get her bump started, so to speak. Adette, because that shows she's a she. I think it's a nice name. I'm starting to get seriously worried about you. All right, then. The experimental prototype female goblin. Killing her just for the sake of a maliciously obscure prophecy strikes me as excessive. She looked at him. It's the evil thing to do, she said. Yes, he snapped, the old evil thing to do, exactly what dear old Bolge would have done. Nasty, violent, and stupid. He made himself calm down. One does not yell at elves, because if one does, they've won. You should go down and take a look at her sometime. She's magnificent. Oh, don't do all that, he added as Tinituvial raised an eyebrow and smirked. It's true. She's 3 times as tall and at least 5 times as strong. Reactions like lightning, and the way she's learned stuff without any prompting at all. She must have so much brain it's a wonder it doesn't dribble out of her ears. With 100,000 more like her, I could build an army worthy of Snorador. I could win. He'd shocked her, and he hadn't meant to say it, not out loud. One of the implicit terms of their unwritten contract was that she worked for him on the strict assumption that evil could never win. He had a nasty feeling he'd just signed Bolgette's death warrant. All right, he said. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's what the prophecy means by she who should never. And when it says chosen people, I guess that means from our perspective. Though, he added, chosen is still going it a bit strong. The people I got lumbered with will be closer to the mark, if you ask me. She was giving him that serious look, the one that usually came before, you've simply got to do this paperwork now. I think you've got a choice, she said. He hadn't been expecting that. Me? Yes, she said, you. Think about it. Evil always loses. You said it yourself. But just before it loses, it reaches a point where anyone would think it's inevitably going to win. And then, from the quarter where you'd least expect it, the smelly stuff hits the fan, or the ring hits the molten lava, and suddenly it's all over bar the interminable singing. I think we're building up to just such an event. Pointy ears and snarky manner or not, you had to hand it to her. Smart. He could see it now, but only because she'd got there first. Let me save you the bother, he said. The she-goblin makes me think, with good reason, that I can win. Under that impression, I spare her and ignore the prophecy. Therefore, a key term of the prophecy is fulfilled, and 10 minutes after that, the nameless one is drinking his morning coffee out of the back of my head. He paused. That was what you were about to say, wasn't it? Pretty much. She looked at him, as if he was the small print in a contract. Not bad, he sighed. Fine, he said. You win. No army worthy of Snorador for me. But killing her still seems a bit harsh. Oh, come on, he quoted, though he couldn't do it nearly as well. You're the daughter of light around here, for crying out loud. We don't have to scrag the poor thing. We can just keep her locked up until all this aggravation's over and done with. She looked at him. Can't we? She shook her head. She's a goblin, she said. Goblins don't count. Well, they don't, she added quickly, before he could say anything. It's like feeling sorry for a biscuit. The whole purpose of a biscuit is to be eaten. The whole purpose of a goblin... He sighed. She was right, of course. It wasn't. But she was. Fine, he said. Off with her head, then. Go on. She nodded, then hesitated. You don't mean me personally. He'd learned the unblinking stare from her, along with a lot of other things. You don't mean me, personally. Well, let's see, he said. From what I've gathered, she's likely to make mincemeat of any detachment of less than a dozen goblins, and more than a dozen wouldn't fit in her cell. They'd have to form an orderly queue outside the door. I could probably do it, but, as you keep telling me, I owe it to my people to stay out of fights if I can help it. You, on the other hand, are an elven warrior princess. It says so on your CV. He drew a sheet of parchment from a drawer and laid it on the table, the palm of his paw covering the writing. 5th level archery, 7th level longsword, distinction in unarmed combat, and gracefully fighting dirty. Which reminds me, he went on, one of these days you really ought to get around to putting copies of your diplomas on the file. Obviously, I believe you have all these qualifications, but you're always saying the road to hell is paved with missing duplicate copies. She'd gone a funny colour.
You know, on reflection, perhaps it'd be simpler all round if we just put something in her food.
Mordak grinned at her. She eats goblins. Poison just won't cut it, no pun intended. Sorry, but I think this is a case where the old cold steel is called for. And since you're eminently qualified,
I'd have to check my diary. I do have rather a lot of work piled up right now.
Enough fun for one day. Or, Mordak said, I suppose we could call in a wraith.
Yes, that's a really good idea.
The words came tumbling out in a sort of heap.
How silly of me. I should have thought of it earlier.
It's all right, Mordak said nicely. It's hard to think straight when you're paralysed with fear. So they tell me, he added, slipping the sheet of paper back into the drawer after she'd had a chance to see it was blank. All right. See to it, would you? Thank you so much, he added, as the door slammed behind her.